WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Investigators have released the names of all five people killed at a gay nightclub over the weekend in Colorado Springs. The place was considered a haven for the LGBTQ community there.
It's not a safe space anymore. It's not. I personally cannot go back in there. I know I can't.
CBS's Matt Piper has more now on the suspected shooter.
Anderson Lee Aldrich now faces five murder charges and five charges of committing a bias-motivated crime causing bodily injury. Police say the 22-year-old used an AR-15-style semi-automatic weapon during the Saturday night rampage.
Investigators are still scouring his social media for a motive. Still no word on what caused a driver to slam into an Apple store near Boston this morning, killing a construction worker and sending more than a dozen others to the hospital. Hingham District Attorney Tim Cruz.
This morning was an unthinkable morning, and people are trying to get through it and process what happened.
President Biden has approved federal aid to help Western New York dig out from several feet of snow. It's trapped a lot of people at home. And Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown tells us he gets why folks are frustrated.
You have a historic Mother Nature event with over 4 feet of snow in a densely populated area. I don't know where people expect all that snow to go.
A comedian is out of the hospital.
Jay Leno suffered serious burns on his face, hands, and chest a week and a half ago while he was working on one of his cars. The 72-year-old Leno is an avid car collector. He spent 10 days at the Grossman Burn Center undergoing two surgical procedures. The hospital released a picture of a smiling Leno along with members of the medical staff. He will still require outpatient treatment.
That's CBS's Steve Futterman reporting. Penguin Random House and rival Simon & Schuster have scrapped a $2.2 billion merger. The Justice Department had been investigating the deal, saying it would hurt competition for big books and authors. Simon & Schuster is owned by Paramount, which is the parent company of CBS News. First Lady Jill Biden welcomed the White House Christmas tree today. The 20-year-old, 18.5-foot con-color fir comes from Auburn, Pennsylvania. It'll stand in the blue room of the White House. And this comes just hours after President Biden officially pardoned two turkeys, saving them from becoming Thanksgiving dinner.
I hereby pardon chocolate and chip.
The two birds from North Carolina were named after the president's favorite ice cream flavor. The Dow lost 45 points today. The Nasdaq was down 121. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. It's true, for the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people. But what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate when compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members now. They've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So yeah, they can handle your bills too. And here's the thing. If you join MediShare Complete right now, before November 30th, they will waive your new member fee. So you're going to save even more. MediShare is the gold standard in healthcare sharing, and joining right now makes a lot of sense. Again, pay no new member fees if you join now and start enjoying great savings and a great way to handle your healthcare. Call now, 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE, 866-88-BIBLE.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Wausau Area School District is still suffering from a bus driver shortage. But the district's bus company, First Student, is apologizing for the delays and route cancellations parents and students have been experiencing since the beginning of the year, and they have promised that interruptions to services will be fixed. They spent the weekend reconstructing bus routes to make them more efficient with the limited number of drivers they have. New plans will go into effect this coming week, and they will make adjustments as needed to give the service that students and families deserve. Today marks 1 year since the Waukesha Christmas Parade tragedy that killed 6 people, wounded dozens of others, and scarred the entire community. Flags across Wisconsin are at half staff in remembrance. Governor Evers said the anniversary is also a chance to remember and honor the bravery of those who helped that day. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 14 tonight under partly cloudy skies, east winds around 5 miles per hour. Highs level off around 36. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Lows around 18. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Highs around 38. Wednesday, under partly cloudy skies. 42 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 28.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network all over Turtle Island. Hey, and we're awake here, and we talk about Native issues and human issues. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And I just want to remind everybody out there, especially in the Twin Cities, or if you're coming in the Twin Cities, that Native Roots Trading Post in downtown Minneapolis is open again, and it's been doing a brisk business. Come on down, get your wild rice and some Heck paintings and some scarves, and just have a good time. It's a beautiful old building, and we've taken up space in the old J.B. Hudson room. So come on down and see my daughter, my Weeha, my second daughter, Jelaine, and go say ahoo and hello. So, hey, we talk about news and events, and we are talking about news that you don't hear anywhere else. So why don't we go right away with Ogama here with the news.
Bonjour, Ani, my relatives. This is Ogama Ganu Akwe coming at you from central Minnesota on Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake. I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I've got some news and information here today. First thing I want to touch base is this really cool series. I'm pretty excited to see it. MTV has a new digital content series, and it's called Hidden Healers. It was announced back in October, but it just released its first episode today in celebration of Native Peoples Heritage Month, which will be coming to a close here at the end of November. The series is viewable to anyone, everywhere. Anyone who has access to MTV's Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook can watch it. Hidden Healers was created in partnership with mental health young leaders to drive mental health actions and honor the heritage of BIPOC communities and cultures. And the idea was developed and presented at MTVE's first-of-a-kind Mental Health Youth Action Forum, which was hosted at the White House in May of this year with First Lady Dr. Jill Biden, Ambassador Susan Rice, U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy, and Selena Gomez. There's a press release with a lot more details, but really excited that this is coming out and that people are talking about the important aspects of mental health when it comes to our BIPOC communities, our Native relatives, and all of those things are intersectional. So really excited. Again, check out Hidden Healers on MTV, anywhere you get MTV on social media. Next story is coming out of MN350. MN350 is kicking off an online event series about the MMIWR, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Relatives crisis. It's going to be every Monday at 6 p.m., and it's going to be an hour of exploring multiple aspects of the MMIWR epidemic. This is starting tonight, and we'll give a basic overview of the MMIWR project and hold a brief discussion about what they're working on. In the future, they're going to be discussing correlations between extractive industries, Indian child welfare, and the foster care system, which is currently under attack by lawyers who represent big oil. And every Monday, they're going to be exploring different topics, stories, problems in the legal system, and how people can start building a rapid response team here in Minnesota, including how to raise the visibility of cases which are often overlooked by the media. This is hosted by Jessica Gadakatun Smith, who is the MN350 Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives organizer. Again, this is online on MN350, so you can go to mn350.org and click on their events tab to register for this event and basically give a overview and a 101 overview of the MMIWR project that MN350, one of the sponsors of Native Roots Radio, is currently working on. So excited to hear about that event. For those of you that took the chance to do so, the Public Utilities Commission was open receiving comments on a routing permit for the Otter Tail Wilkin CO2 pipeline. That's right, CO2 carbon pipeline. The pipeline would carry carbon dioxide captured at an ethanol production plant near Fergus Falls to the western border of Minnesota. And there were a lot of people who are opposing this project, and including the false claim that it would reduce CO2 emissions. The comment period closed today at 4:30 p.m. So those of you who sent your comments in, thank you so much for doing that. It's great that you were able to do that. If the construction is allowed, this would be the first approval for a CO2 pipeline in Minnesota. And it's a small part of a much larger system that's been proposed to transport CO2 from a number of ethanol plants in Minnesota and the surrounding states. And past efforts to capture CO2 from those power plants and from ethanol production have really failed. Nonetheless, this technology is being touted as a tool for reducing CO2 release. And CO2 pipelines are seeking approval primarily because they would, of course, be very profitable due to large government subsidies. These kinds of projects are exactly the things that we want to touch base on here in Native Roots Radio. These types of projects tend to affect our BIPOC communities, Indigenous people first and worst. In this case, there's also a lot of potential for our farmers and agriculture to be affected by this as well. So we'll be following up more as we can find out more information on the status of this CO2 pipeline here in Minnesota and what is being done and what can be done about it. Another local news here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the MIA, or the Minneapolis Institute of Art, is welcoming applicants for 2022 and 2023 for the Native American Fellowship, which is co-hosted by MIA's Curatorial Division and MIA's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Division. The Native American Fellowship is made possible by the generous support of the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community. Whoever is chosen for the fellow would gain valuable professional experience working with the Native American art curation at a large art museum, and the fellowship also provides an opportunity for Native Americans to work with the chair of the Global Contemporary Art and other museum professionals to enhance skills and experience through research, art curation, partnerships, and interpretation of Native American art. So there is, you can apply pretty easily through the MIA website. That's Minneapolis Institute of Art at artsmia.org. Again, they are looking for a Native American fellowship at the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, so make sure you get your application in if that is something that you are skilled in. A story to touch base on here from our relatives over in the Northwest. Tribal nations are really celebrating a decision that was made last week by federal regulators. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission voted unanimously to transfer ownership of four dams owned by a utility company called PacifiCorp on the Klamath River in Northern California and Southern Oregon to two states and a nonprofit formed to manage the project. This means that the decision is allowed to decommission and create the destruction of those dams. And the four dams that were built between 1918 and 1962. And the salmon in those rivers have been blocked from reaching spawning areas and contributing to their major decline. Chairman of the Yurok tribe, Joseph James, said the Klamath salmon are coming home and that their people have earned this victory and with it their sacred duty to the fish that have sustained their people since the beginning of time. It is a $500 million project and is said to be the largest dam removal project restoration and river restoration project in the country. And it is being led by businesses and contractors owned by tribal governments and citizens. And federal environmental impact analysis of the project will be moving forward. So big, big congratulations to the Yurok tribe in the North Pacific Northwest and California. Always glad when our relatives have those types of victories. That's been the news here on Native Roots Radio with Ogama Ginu Akwe, and we'll head back to you, Robert.
Hey, thank you, Pini Gigi. Ogama is always talking news all over that you don't hear anywhere else except here on Native Roots Radio. Hey, we have Dr. Stately today, and we're going to talk a little bit, too, with our intern, Ayana, a little bit about how she celebrates Thanksgiving. Ho-wa. And I'm going to play a little clip from Teen Vogue, and we're going to have a little fun with that. But, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio on the Civic Media Network. I'm Awake. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
The Midtown Phillips Neighborhood Association invites you to join two community forums happening this week. On Monday, November 21st, hear about Midtown Phillips Community Partnerships and the call for 2023 outreach partners. Then on Tuesday, November 22nd, learn about harm reduction with the Indigenous Peoples Task Force. Both the Monday and Tuesday meetings will begin at 6:30 p.m. Visit MidtownPhillips.org for more information and a link to join the meetings by Zoom. That's MidtownPhillips.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit MN350.org.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion of Native Roots Radio is brought to you by MinSure. We all need some MinSure. We all need health insurance. So a great new sponsor of Native Roots Radio. Hey, I have our intern on. Say hello to everybody. And what I want to do is play this Teen Vogue video in audio, of course, and maybe get your response. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And by then, Dr. Stately will be on and you'll be off the hook. Oh-hoo. Just say hi to everybody right now and tell them who you are, and then we're going to jump into this Teen Vogue that came out a few years talking about Thanksgiving.
Southside Minneapolis, Otay Ewigyan.
Hello, my name is Ayana Denemi, and I'm from Pipixis Cree Nation, Treaty 4 Territory. I come at you from Southside, Minneapolis.
Hey, right on. Hey, so let's check this out and have a little conversation. And you're young, you're 17 years old, correct?
16.
You're our intern here on Native Roots Radio, and it's great to have a young voice like yourself keep us old fogies in line. So let's take a quick listen, and then we'll have a conversation, okay?
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving, America. I'm Donna, and I'm here with my friends to tell you the real history behind this holiday. Growing up, I knew that what they told you in school about Thanksgiving wasn't true. That's not the true story. The true story behind Thanksgiving was, after every killing of a whole village, these European settlers celebrated it, and they called it Thanksgiving. But it wasn't until Abraham Lincoln became president that it became an official holiday.
He ordered 38 Dakota men to be hung for war crimes.
After the sacred holiday, Christmas.
We take this time to remember our elders who lost their lives due to what really happened. Usually my mom makes a Native American dish for us and we pray.
Growing up, I would be kind of annoyed that they didn't know what actually happened on Thanksgiving and that they're actually celebrating the deaths of many people and many tribes that were lost.
Whether it's to give thanks or to be with your family, you should learn how the holiday was established in the first place.
I'm thankful for being born indigenous to this continent.
I'm thankful that I still have my culture.
I'm thankful that my elders kept our culture alive all these years.
I'm thankful to be indigenous, resilient, and alive.
I'm thankful for us all to be able to stand together, stand strong, and stand as one.
Happy Thanksgiving, America.
Wow, what'd you think? Ayana, have you seen that before?
I actually haven't. It was very empowering, I felt.
Yeah, and so how does, as a 16-year-old Native woman, how do you and your family celebrate Thanksgiving?
Well, me and my family, we have a meal, but we do not celebrate the genocide that Thanksgiving is. Normally, my mom prepares a meal, and I'll help out with it, and the boys will set the table, and we'll pray before we have the meal.
That's awesome. Hey, we got Dr. Stately here. How's it going, Dr. Stately? We have our young warrior intern, Ayana, here helping us out today.
Hi, Ayana. How are you?
Hello, I'm good.
Good.
Awesome.
My first thought was, like, all that turkey on the floor.
Easy.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm just teasing. I don't even like turkey. I think, like, my first thought was like, man, that's a lot of work to cook all that food because I used to do it and I don't do it no more. I'm not doing it no more. Like, that's it.
Yeah, I think Wendy and I are going to go to Jay Selby's and get a vegan meal for Thanksgiving and see the kids maybe a little later at night because they're going to be with their mom.
You going to get faux turkey?
Yeah. Well, I just like the fixins, you know. I really do. I mean, the turkey.
I think that's what most people like, don't they? They don't actually like the turkey. Turkey to me is like dry and it's like gnawing on cardboard. Like, what I like is like the cranberries, the stuffing, all the really fattening, yummy stuff that goes alongside of it.
How about you, Ayana? What do you like?
I personally just like the leftovers when the next day. We'll be able to just make sandwiches. I'll just be like,
A nice little pickles. You put pickles on yours too because that's the way grandma used to make it.
And that's true. Like, that's a really good point. Leftovers are best like at 1:30 in the morning, like when you like wake up after coming out of that turkey coma, you know, that like coma that you get from eating all that. What's it called that's inside of it?
Yeah.
And then you wake up and you're like, oh, it's the middle of the night. Let me go down and see what's in there. You got to pull everything out, you know, and if your parents are anything like my mom, she used to just like take the whole big bird and shove it in the fridge, like, you know. Because then you're trying to like get like, you know, you're trying to reach way behind the turkey to grab like the, you know, the maybe the wild rice stuffing that's left over, and you're trying to pull it out, and then you end up knocking everything out of the fridge anyway, and you're like, oh well, I might as well eat again.
Definitely felt that one.
Oh, wow. Good. But, no, this year my family and I are not going to back to South Dakota for Thanksgiving weekend. We usually like my children are adopted. My partner and I adopted them from his first cousin from Crow Creek, South Dakota, and the year that my sons were born, their biological mother, who was my partner's cousin, died in a car accident on Thanksgiving Day. Wow. And Crow Creek has this thing that it does where on every year, like a lot of the folks living on the res, they'll go to the graves and clean them up and stuff like that, and then they and go home and they have dinner and share their meals with their families. But we've always gone back every single year, with the exception of probably this year and I think the COVID year a couple of years ago we didn't go, because it's a way of us acknowledging the significance of their biological mother's involvement in their life and helping us to create a family. And for me, it's always been a way of me acknowledging the gratitude I have, you know, the thankfulness of being able to, being given the gift of taking care of her children and raising them into young men. Wow. And how transformative that was for my own life. And so it's over the last decade and a half, that's really been like a lot of the focus of my orientation around this specific holiday. So.
Yeah,
think of it as...
it's interesting you bring that up because we haven't talked for a couple of weeks, and I was in D.C. for the ICWA hearing, and I'm an adoptee, and it's all around us. And you have a success story with your boys, and I had to find my way back.
Yeah, I know so many people who are impacted by that adoptee history. You know, I think I've talked about this before actually here on this show, where I said like, you know, that I'm a boarding school survivor, you know, right. And myself and my four older siblings, we all went to boarding school ironically in Chamberlain, South Dakota, which is just about 20 miles south of Crow Creek, which is where my children are from. And, you know, it was, you know, my mom sent us to boarding school because she had no other choice. Like the county child protection services were going to take me and my siblings away from her for neglect, right? She would oftentimes have to work swing shift in the evening in the hotels downtown Minneapolis, like providing housekeeping and support. And so she'd have to leave us sometimes with like my oldest sister or other relatives to take care of us while she was working to make ends meet, because all she had was welfare and food stamps. People probably don't know what food stamps are, but they're like, they used to be actually paper money. Now everybody has EBT cards. They're like, what are food stamps? But that was, you know, how I ended up in boarding school. And so I know so many people, and I remember having this conversation with her. I was like, why did you send us to that place? That was a horrible place. And, you know, looking back now as an adult, I know that she understood where she was sending us, because she had gone to boarding school, and her grandmother and her mother had gone to boarding school. And my great-grandparents, her grandparents, had met in boarding school. And
fly your team flag.
Down he goes, another sack.
Cue up, jump around. and rep your Cardinal and white Bucky gear.
He's gone all the way.
It's Badger football.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Let's go.
6 more on the board for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Join us Saturday. It's the regular season finale against the rival Gophers. Our coverage begins at 12:30.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win 2 tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Puzzles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Quality Foods makes Thanksgiving meal planning easy. Get your Thanksgiving dinner from Quality Foods on Baker and West Grand. Complete heat and serve whole turkey or turkey breast dinners with mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, green bean casserole, and more. Even your choice of dessert. Just reheat and serve. Voila! Thanksgiving dinner is done. While supplies last, call ahead by November 21st to order. Thanksgiving dinners and the fixins from Quality Food Baker and West Grand of Wisconsin Rapids. Get the details at qualityfoodswisrapids.com.
I want to change some things.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
I want to change what I see around here.
United Way is creating real, lasting change where you live by focusing on the building blocks of a better life: education, income, and health.
I just want to see more smiles on my sidewalks.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. For more, visit United Way at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. RSV cases have significantly increased this year compared to last, and increased cases in children has led to a possible amoxicillin shortage across the nation. While alternatives are still available, and tablets, capsules, and chew tablets of amoxicillin are available, the liquid or suspended version of the drug, which is most commonly used for children, is decreasing in supply. There is still inventory available, but pharmacies can only receive so much. Fortunately, not all respiratory illnesses require an antibiotic, and the shortage should be temporary. St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Stevens Point is hosting their Thanksgiving basket event for its 13th year. This church has been giving back to the community in their annual event that provides hundreds of families with a Thanksgiving meal, as well as personal hygiene products, books, and winter gear. This is their first year back to having an in-person event after closing during COVID and having a drive-through pickup last year. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 14. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, east winds around 5 miles per hour. Highs level off around 36. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine. Lows around 18. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Highs around 38. Wednesday, under partly cloudy skies. 42 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 28.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Care infrastructure lacking. Many nursing homes have closed because of a lack of funding and staff. Wisconsin's aging population is expected to grow at a rate 6 times higher than the overall expected population increase in the state by 2040, intensifying the need for more nursing home beds and an increase in staff with the ability to provide a high level of care. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
their menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hey, this portion's brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. And I just wanted to say hello to everyone. And Ayana disappeared on us. I'm going to add her again. And just, Ayana, what do you think of the show so far? This is your first show, so we're excited to have you on.
Yeah, hello. I'm thinking it's a different feeling. I'm very used to just being on the banners. So being live, I feel very red, kind of nervous, but I'm taking it head on.
Right on. And isn't Dr. Stately cool?
Yeah. I thought it was so cool how you were just like talking about your experiences. I really like that.
Right on. We, Dr. Stately, you're on mute. Okay. We love just having a conversation here with Dr. Stately. We never know really what we're going to talk about. And we used to prep, you know, what we're going to talk about. And then, of course, I just went off script. And now Dr. Stately just listens to NPR before he comes on and gives us updates. Hey, we're here with Native American Community Clinic CEO.
Yeah, he's Robert's known for just kind of known for off script. That's his middle name, off script Robert. I think it's the funnest part of the show where we just talk. We talk about, you know, I mean, I think these are things that we don't talk enough about, actually. So, and they're important conversations to have in our tribal communities and in our families. They're important conversations to have with our friends.
And young ones.
Yeah. You know, and young ones. Yep. Like these are, you know, these are important things to talk about. These are things that, I mean, I am so inspired by young people like Ayana and other folks, like just, and like the young women that were in that video. It's like, those are not things that, you know, when I was, I don't know how old you are. I'm assuming you're 19, 20, 20-ish or something. 16. Okay, so like when I was your age, we weren't having those kinds of conversations, and we weren't certainly having those kinds of conversations like out loud and in public in that way. Of course, we didn't have anything that was even remotely like social media, right, or YouTube or any of those things. So those spaces and places were not even places that we could show up in, right? And so I'm so impressed every single time I see young, strong, intelligent, outspoken, indigenous young men and women stepping into that space and, you know, having really important conversations and not just asking the questions, but also providing the answers and the solutions and leading those conversations, not just having, you know, commentary afterwards, but being the leaders of those discussions in their communities. That is like profound to me and very different in some ways from my own experience as a young person. It's part of what I find to be, helps me to feel hopeful about the future, right?
Right.
That, when I see young people like Ayana and, at Native Rise, some of those my boys, some of my nephews, my nephew Ruben, some of these people in our community, many of these young people in our community stepping forward into this space and having these really important, deep discussions about sovereignty and, you know, climate change and all the things that sort of we're struggling with in our world. And, offering up critical questions and solutions. It's just for me that I feel like, oh, okay, well then we must have done something right. We raised these intelligent, sapient human beings to tackle really big challenges. Right. So I feel like, you know, that we're moving in a good direction. And I feel more hopeful than I felt in a really long time. So,
Dr. Stately, we haven't talked since the election, but the Gen Zs almost outnumbered us old geezers in voting. And that is a breath of sunshine. And they always want us, the press always wants to say how they're not engaged. And you're just talking about great examples of how our native kids are engaged. And I was talking, we were talking before the show, Iana and I, and it's like I was the same age as her when we could first do our own religion in 1978, you know?
Yeah. I was 16 when I graduated from high school at South High, and I started my first year of college at McAllister.
Wow.
And I remember when I was 18, I think not too much later, my second or third year at McAllister, I started interning at the Circle newspaper, and shortly after that, I became the editor. And
what?
And about, yeah, and about the same time.
What?
Yeah. And actually before I could even vote, I worked on Karen Clark's campaign as her co-campaign manager, because I was already interning at the Circle. So even before I could vote, I was interning. And then, you know, my mom kind of got me involved in that. I was like, at first I was like, what are you getting me involved in? But then it was like such an amazing experience to sort of be part of a, you know, they didn't really know what I was doing as a campaign manager. What can you know at 16 years old, right? It's certainly back in the 70s, you know.
Oh, we knew a lot in the 70s. We just can't talk about it. Oh, wow.
Right. At least not on the radio, we can't.
Right.
Dr.
Stately, if you remember the 70s, you really weren't there. So that's all I have
that's
to say.
That's true. This is true. Like, yeah. If you can remember the 70s, you didn't do it right if you're remembering it.
So. Yeah, exactly. And now I'm 38 years sober.
Yeah. I remember clogs and flared bell bottoms. That's what I remember.
So. I wish those would come back. I look cool in those.
I know, right? I was like, I was rocking that those bell bottoms and those clogs in my back in my day. Actual clogs, not what are
not
those
the
things
pretend
that
ones from
now?
Old Navy. Old Navy, the real ones.
Exactly, the real.
That
ones.
Would be worth a lot of money.
The ones that you can throw across the room and hit somebody in the head and knock them out with. So they're like, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we made it here, but we also it's a great point, especially talking about your family and Iana and people that are stepping up and in a good way. Now too, we've leaned on our elders all these years, Dr. Stately, and now we're kind of getting close to that position, and we got to stay healthy and help support our young ones.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of there's a place for, you know, what I was taught by my elders was I was taught that there's a place for every single one of us in our circle, right? So the elders have a really critical role. I just turned 60 this year. So like everyone's like, oh, you're a baby elder. And I was like, oh, I like the baby part. but you know, I'm looking down the road 5, 10, 15 years from now, recognizing that like, I'll probably always be involved in like community work, and I'll always sort of kind of like, because, you know, I think that when your heart is there, when your heart's that place, when your community sort of feeds you and makes your, for me, like I when I was a young person, like Iana's age, shortly thereafter, like in my early 20s, I went off and I, you know, lived on the West Coast for 24 years before I came back. The best part of my life has been being back in my community and working in my community and spending time with people that I grew up with and their children and their grandchildren, and being part of that, you know, that circle, that Hochokati. And I know that I'll never leave that. Right. And even after I retire, if I ever get to retire, I don't know a lot of Indians that retire. I know a lot of Indians that die, but I don't know a lot of Indians that retire.
Right.
Cause like the work that we do isn't just our work. It's our community and our people are our life blood. And I think I will always work in that area, whether I'm getting paid to do it or not. But I do know that, like, one of my primary responsibilities over the next 10 to 15 years is to cultivate opportunity for young leaders to step into my space and my role and take the reins. And I'm not doing a responsible job if I'm not creating the pathway for that to happen, right? Makes and doing sense. That in a really an intentional way. And so, you know, I'm here because people before me thought about me being here.
Exactly. And that's why we have Ayana on tonight, because she may be one day running the show, and you and I will be sipping cappuccinos at some coffee shop listening.
One day she could be in that governor's cabinet. She could be running the whole entire state.
That's right. Yeah, definitely. Or at least a Native Roots Radio.
Right.
Well, you know, if you want to set your sights lower, then go ahead and do that.
Yeah, you got a point there. Well, whatever
I'm
she wants
kidding. To do. He's a celebrity across the entire continent by now. So.
A legend in my own mind.
It's oh, true. Wow. It's true.
That's true. Well, anyway. Well, we have to take a break in about a minute or so, Dr. Stately, and I just want you to make sure, and both of you make sure that you can howl for the next segment, because we'll be howling for wolves here.
Yeah,
and I can't wait.
I'm gonna go gargle now.
Yeah, get some salt water in there. Yep, for exactly. Sure. Hey, well, you know, that reminds me, we're with Dr. Stately. We're with Ayana and her first show, and she's really, I can tell she's really loving it. Oh, and there was a thumbs up. No, there wasn't. Hey, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're with Dr. Stately at Native American Community Clinic, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to Jay Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at Jay Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion of Native Roots Radio is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I kind of feel like Ayana, you were lip syncing there, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we have to do that again?
Just kidding.
Protecting wolves for future generations. Okay, cool. All right, good. Hey, we're here with Ayana, her first show, and she'll be taking over the show and then disgustingly get rid of it and then run for governor. And, right, but that'll give you the people will know who you are, kind of like Jesse when he was on the radio, and then he, never mind. Anyways, but, and we're here with Dr. Stately from a Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And I guess we're just talking about Thanksgiving and just having a conversation here about how happy we are also with the future looking bright for us. We had ICWA just come up and we're talking about Thanksgiving and, just a conversation like that. It's a crazy time we live in, but we're never going to run out of things, Dr. Stately, to talk about on this show. I'll tell you that.
No, I suppose, well, especially between you and I, we probably won't, but, hey, leave my cat alone.
Uh-oh, the dog's attacking the cat. The sacred cat.
Yeah, the sacred cat. My baby. Get down. No. Get down. They both got activated because, like, they heard me howling, so then, and you howling, too. So then they're like, are we being called into action? What's going on?
Right. Right, exactly.
I have two Alaskan Malamutes. That's why I like it. So, anyway, I was going to say that one of the things I think that's kind of, This time of the year is, like, this is one of my favorite times of the year, actually, by the way. Like, I like fall and the sort of, like, the slow introduction of winter. Like, I'm not really a big fan of, like, January and February, like, when we're in the deep freeze part of winter. Like, I don't really enjoy that part a whole lot. But I do like this time of year, and I like... What I love about this time of year is not necessarily the holidays themselves as they are articulated in the, what do you call it, in mass society, but I like spending time with family. I like getting together and sharing meals. I like, you know, the opportunity to spend time with the people that I love and that are important to me in my life, right? Hey.
Right. Roscoe is kind of liking that too.
Yeah, they're misbehaving. Yeah. So, and I think one of the things that's like, my sons were just like, I forget how we got on this topic the other day. They were like, Dad, did you know that Jesus wasn't even born in December? And I was like, yeah. I mean, think about it. Like, if he was, you know, like, you know, like, he certainly wasn't born in this hemisphere, I said, but he probably also wasn't born in December because, like, you know, he is, like, you know, I didn't see any anything that he was related to that. And I talked to them a little bit about, like, how Christianity sort of, like, was, you know, recalibrated the story around Jesus' birth to sort of align with, like, the December 25th time because of, you know, their desire to sort of, like, proselytize for, like, quote unquote pagan or heathen sort of people who worshipped or who not worship but celebrated the solstice more, like, right. And trying to help them understand, like, the nature of, like, how, you know, it's like, you know, the story, the Bible is a collection of a bunch of stories and
a lot of them left
so it's
out.
Basically a Yeah, and basically it's like a history book, and a lot of it is made up. So,
yeah.
You know.
Well, I always wondered about Jesus being born on Christmas. That's crazy. He's not born on Christmas then, huh?
We were watching this movie, and there was, like, showing him, you know, and, like, you know.
No snow.
There he is. No snow. There's a bunch of sand, and there's a mule, and there's a bunch of other things, some camels and a few other things. And
was that white Jesus, or? Was that what?
Yeah, I was like, son, do you see anything unusual about this movie here? And he was like, well, there's camels and there's no snow. I said, Jesus is also white. I said, okay, like, do we know where Jerusalem is and where Egypt is? And do we know where it is on the planet? And what do we know about that location? And what do we know about that space and place in? Yeah, I said, you're in geography right now. You're in 10th grade geography. Tell me what you know about that place. Like, who are the people of that land, right? And so it's part, so I was like, what is important here is to start to think critically about like the narrative that we're told about this man and his journey and the narrative we're sold, and we are to believe that he was a white child who is a savior and a prophet, when the truth is probably something different, right?
So. Yeah, and he had some 12 homies he was hanging out with, and you know,
12 of them, yeah. Yeah,
and then also, I heard years ago when I seemed to care a little bit about this that a woman also there was women that wrote books that were left out in the Bible too.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just a rumor I'm starting right now in the show.
Well, the Bible is filled with women. A lot of them are reimagined in not such great ways, right?
You're exactly.
So, well, but I love that you call them 12 homies. In today's society, they'd be called 12 something else's, but
right. Right.
Not and disciples, then, degenerates, probably.
Right. And they had to have some Judas dude, too. So every crowd has one of these guys that they're, we called them narcs in the 70s. But we regress.
Judas. Snitches get stitches, Judas.
Right. What do you call them now, Ayana? What do we call snitches now?
Oppositions.
I was going to say, we call them whistleblowers now today.
I like that. Wait, we're cool. We're going to learn a lot here.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Well, I do agree.
We're being a little silly.
I think this will be the best of Native Roots Radio, so we'll put this one.
People
out.
Are probably wondering what's in our eggnog. So,
right. I just celebrated 38 years sobriety on the 9th.
Woo-hoo. That's awesome! Congratulations.
Yeah, I'd be dead now if it wasn't for being in some sort of recovery. So I'm always thankful, and this is a good month for me, not only because it's Thanksgiving, but I'm also grateful it's gratitude month in the AA circles.
One of the things I want to put a big shout out to our community right now, all of our listeners, is like, I think it's an important time. Like, I always think of this time, and I try to tell this to my kids too, is like, spend the time thinking about like what you're thankful for, find something to be grateful for. Because no matter what, you always have something, you're a little bit better in a better situation than a lot of other people. And so I try to get them to do that. And I want to encourage our community to sort of remember our elders, go check on an elder, bring people who are unsheltered or who don't have food, bring them some food, feed them. One of the ways that we as Indigenous people express our gratitude and our thankfulness is we, and I was always taught Robert, listen up. I was always taught that, one of the ways you demonstrate your wealth is you give your things away, Robert, like that amazing poster behind you.
I'm waiting for the frame.
I love the idea of it being framed. I would like it in brown, a nice walnut, perhaps.
Okay, let me consider that.
But no, really, like, go check on elders, bring food to people that are less, well off as you. Give your shirt off your back, do the things that, that be thoughtful of other people. We have a lot of relatives, especially here in Minnesota where I'm at, we have a lot of relatives who are living unsheltered and don't have a safe place to live. They don't have food to eat, those kinds of things, warm blankets. So.
Perfect way to end the show. Thank you, Dr. Stately, for being on, and happy holidays. Ayana, we're going to make this the best of, and we're going to send this all over our network. Great job, and thank you for...
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan. I was point man on foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and my left hand in an explosion.
And he suffered a severe traumatic brain injury. Yes.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
There are so many mountains to climb, and we do it together.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
Seeing Alex learning how to snow ski, that's life-changing.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than a million veterans each year.
Alex did it. He skied down this mountain. That's something he won't forget.
With the right support, there are no limits.
To see him on that slope and smiling like that, we'll be taking this home.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Alex Hussey, thank you for your service. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.